holy and beautiful, the custom which brings us together this morning in the presence of the Most High. We come to face our ideals, to remember ones we loved who are absent today, to give thanks and to offer forgiveness to ourselves as well as to others. We come to be enlightened and to be strengthened, though in this quiet time there breathes the worship of the ages, the cathedral music of all history. Three unseen guests attend: faith, hope, and love. Let all our hearts prepare them place. We gather now together to worship. May the grace fall upon us. And these words of Stephen Levine: there is a grace approaching that we shun as much as death. It is the completion of our birth. It does not come in time, but in timelessness, when the mind sinks into the heart and we remember who we are. It is an insistent grace that draws us to the edges and beckons us to surrender safe territory and enter into our enormity. Today, we enter our enormity together. We address living into life, living into death, and focus on the book Tuesdays with Maury, a man who was fully alive. Welcome. Welcome. This being the first Sunday of the month, the children and teachers are downstairs in their religious education classes from the beginning of the service, so we will not be having a conversation with the children, but readings instead. I read this excerpt from When Death Comes by Mary Oliver. When death comes, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering what it is going to be like. And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular, and each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending as all music does towards silence, and each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was bride, married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened and full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world.
From Tuesdays with Maury. His death sentence came in the summer of 1994. Looking back, Maury knew something bad was coming long before that. He knew it the day he gave up dancing. He had always been a dancer, my old professor. The music didn't matter. Rock and roll, big band, the blues, he loved them all. He would close his eyes and, with a blissful smile, begin to move to his own sense of rhythm. It wasn't always pretty, but then he didn't worry about a partner. Maury danced by himself. No one knew that he was a prominent doctor of sociology.
Our hymns have been about life. Just as long as I have breath, tell them I said yes to love. I said yes to life. I said yes to truth. And this last hymn, all about the loveliness of life. Well, you might be asking yourself, I thought today's service was about end of life. Well, my friends, end of life is about life. End of life is part of life. And very often, as we live, so shall we die. Maury certainly taught us that lesson. And I've recently spent a couple of really powerfully beautiful days at the hospital with a woman, a beloved woman, who actually, Peg Lawrence, who was the lawyer who helped us purchase this building, and she and her, well, her partner, Lisa, said that I might speak of her this morning, and of the incredible light and beauty that surrounded her passing. It was uplifting to be in the midst of that kind of love. Uplifting. Speaking of Tuesdays with Maury, Stephanie Bowen of CNN wrote a review of the book, and her thoughts were along these lines. Maury wasn't an athletic icon. He wasn't a wealthy entrepreneur or a prominent actor. He was not a household name, for sure. His only claim to fame was an appearance on Nightline with Ted Koppel. But ask anyone who knew him, and they'd likely tell you that Maury Schwartz made more of an impression on them than Michael Jordan, Bill Gates, and Jodie Foster combined. Tuesdays with Maury is more than just a dying man's last words. It is an inspirational recount of one man's life, a man whose passion for the human spirit, his love of life, his living into life, has continued to live long after his death. Tuesdays with Maury is subtitled An Old Man, a Young Man, and Life's Greatest Lesson. It is a book that was not planned. It came about when Mitch Albom, by chance, saw his old Brandeis professor on Nightline. He was saddened to hear that Maury had Lou Gehrig's disease and that he was approaching death. Mitch had lost touch with his mentor, and he decided to travel to Waltham, Massachusetts to visit. He was in Detroit, a sports writer in Detroit at the time. Mitch and Maury subsequently spent the next 16 Tuesdays together, exploring many of life's fundamental issues. Now get this, Mitch was living in Detroit. They spent the next 16 Tuesdays together. He commuted to Waltham from Detroit early every Tuesday morning. Why? Not for a death watch, for an upliftment. For an upliftment. That's the message. So, Maury was giving his last lecture while Mitch was writing his final thesis. Welcome to class, my friends. Welcome to class.
The last class of my old professor's life took place once a week in his house, by a window in the study, where he could watch a small hibiscus plant shed its pink leaves. The class met on Tuesdays. It began after breakfast. The subject was the meaning of life. It was taught from experience. No grades were given, but there were oral exams each week. You were expected to respond to questions, and you were expected to pose questions of your own. You were also required to perform physical tasks now and then, such as lifting the professor's head to a comfortable spot on the pillow, or placing his glasses on the bridge of his nose. Kissing him goodbye earned you extra credit.
Murray had a life philosophy, all right. You could tell from the way he danced, as was described earlier. His ideas about how to live were the way he taught at Brandeis and the way he lived into death. These are lessons for us in this classroom today. It's never too late, and nothing is too trivial. Every word, every gesture, it counts. It counts. There's no one you meet who is not your student, your fellow, and part of you. So, if we are to pay attention to Maury and to live into life and to live into passing, we do well to take every action, every word, every gesture seriously. It all matters.
So many people walk around with a meaningless life. They seem half asleep, even when they're busy doing things they think are important. This is because they're chasing the wrong things. The way you get meaning into your life is to devote yourself to loving others. Devote yourself to your community around you. And devote yourself to creating something that gives you purpose and meaning. I knew he was right. He tells me to be more human.
Be more human. Be more human. The words of Stephen Levine in his book, Healing into Life and Death, he writes, "As one teacher said, the mind creates the abyss and the heart crosses it. Love is the bridge. It is the whisper of underlying suchness. To enter this reality, we let go of the thoughts and feelings that filter mercy and forgiveness. We let go the resistance, the fearful doubts that seduce awareness into identification with the unhealed. Instead, Levine exhorts us to let the mind float in the heart. We let the mind float in the heart. Love, he writes, is not what we become, but who we already are. Maury expressed love and vitality in how he lived, and so it was with him as he faced the end. At Brandeis, he was fearless. He was a lover of his students. He hugged them. He kissed them. He was a peacemaker. He was a mentor and a teacher of love.
I tell you the thing I'm learning most with this disease. What's that? The most important thing in life is to learn how to give out love and to let it come in. His voice dropped to a whisper. Let it come in. We think we don't deserve love. We think if we let it in, we'll become too soft. But a wise man named Levine said it right. He said, love is the only rational act. He repeated it carefully, pausing for effect. Love is the only rational act.
When Maury was at Brandeis, he showed his courage on many occasions. Now, it's obvious he had a lot of courage the way he danced free. Not many of us could do that. But there were so many people who learned from Murray. There was the time that he helped to solve a terrible standoff of the students who were taking over the student union, and he knew what was right. He knew what to do, and he single-handedly went in and diffused the situation by getting the students' demands and bringing them out to the president and helping to create peace. Love was the answer, and he knew it.
One time, a group of black students took over Ford Hall on the Brandeis campus, draping it in a banner that read Malcolm X University. Ford Hall had chemistry labs, and some administration officials worried that these radicals were making bombs in the basement. Maury knew better. He saw right to the core of the problem, which was human beings wanting to feel that they mattered. The standoff lasted for weeks, and it might have gone on even longer if Maury hadn't been walking by the building when one of the protesters recognized him as a favorite teacher and yelled to him to come in through the window. An hour later, Maury crawled out through the window with a list of what the protesters wanted. He took the list to the president of the university, and the situation was diffused.
Tenderness is the next lesson of Maury. Now remember, Mitch got extra credit for kisses. We get extra credit around here for hugs, and I would say that we're pretty good at that. He could teach all of this because he lived it. None of us can teach anything that we don't live. My dear friend and partner Richard, who passed 4 years ago, was able to teach deep and true lessons at the end of his life. I thought I knew a lot about end of life until that experience. I thought I knew a lot about the possibilities. I had been present to many in their final moments. Richard said yes to life. He said yes to truth, and he said yes to love in a way that totally mirrored the way he lived. I indeed was a student in the classroom of his life. That's the opportunity that end of life offers us. That's the beauty, the tenderness, the love, the living into that with our lives. It's available to anyone. You don't need a degree. You don't need any credentials. We move our minds into our hearts. We enter the sanctuary of our hearts. We open our spirits to one another. We can do it with courage, with taking the risk. But you have to be willing to jump off that building. You have to be willing to dance free. We all can do it in a place of safety. We can hold one another in that place of safety. Feel your heart. Feel your heart. That is where the lesson is. That is where life is. Tenderness, love, Welcome to the classroom.
Forgive yourself before you die, then forgive others.
This was a few days after the Nightline interview. The sky was rainy and dark, and Maury was beneath a blanket. I sat at the far end of his chair holding his bare feet. They were calloused and curled, and his toenails were yellow. I had a small jar of lotion, and I squeezed some into my hands and began to massage his ankles. It was another of the things I had watched his helpers do for months, and now, in an attempt to hold on to what I could of him, I had volunteered to do it myself. The disease had left Maury without the ability even to wiggle his toes, yet he could still feel pain, and massages helped relieve it. Also, of course, Maury liked being held and touched. And at this point, anything I could do to make him happy, I was going to do. He was struggling with something beneath the sheets and realized he was trying to move his hands toward the opening.
"Hold," he said.
I pulled the covers down and grasped his fingers. They disappeared inside my own. I leaned in close, a few inches from his face.
"You are a good soul. A good soul. Touched me," he whispered.
He moved my hands to his heart.
"Here."
It felt as if I had a pit in my throat.
"Coach?
Ah? I don't know how to say goodbye." He patted my hand weakly, keeping it on his chest.
This is how we say goodbye.
He breathed softly. In and out. I could feel his rib cage rise and fall. Then he looked right at me.
"Love you,"
he rasped. "I love you too, Coach."
"No, you do."
Mitch Albom arrived on the first Tuesday, a man caught up in his profession, a man caught up in materialism and his sports writing and his fame back home. He thought he was there for one brief visit just to say hi to his old mentor and get back to Detroit. He was transformed by the teachings of Maury. He was transformed into a man who asked to hold his mentor's feet and rub them with lotion. This is a major transformation not to be taken lightly. His head, his mind dropped into his heart. And he was transformed into a person of tenderness, into a person who put love first. My friends, in life, at the end of life, let us remember that we can be transformed and be agents of transformation. We are all teachers. And here's the deal. It's never too late. In the conclusion to his book, Mitch writes, "If Professor Maury Schwartz taught me anything at all, it's this: there is no such thing as too late in life. He was changing into the day he said goodbye. Please, please know, my friends, it is never too late. Please start now." start this very moment to take a risk, to open the heart, to know that it is safe to do so. Why? Because we are all one, and we all need the same thing. We are all in need of a little more tenderness. We are all in need of a lot more forgiveness. We are all in need of love and opening the heart to make that bridge to peace. So, if you want extra credit, the assignment is, after today's service, reach out to someone you don't know. Look in each other's eyes. Introduce yourselves. And ask a question. Ask a question, a meaningful question. What's on your heart? What makes your heart sing? We can do it. We can do it. Blessed be. And amen. With our closing words, please hold in your minds the fact that these words were spoken between Maury and Mitch days before Maury died. If you think he felt himself not free, if you think he felt himself locked in a prison of his body, think again, Maury danced free.
Do you believe in reincarnation, I ask?
Perhaps.
What would you come back as?
If I had my choice, a gazelle.
A gazelle?
Yes. So graceful, so fast.
A gazelle. Maury smiles at me.
You think that's strange?
I study his shrunken frame, the loose clothes, socks, wrapped feet that rest stiffly on foam rubber cushions, unable to move, like a prisoner in leg irons. I picture a gazelle racing across the desert. No, I say, I don't think that's strange at all.
May we all be so free. Love will set us free. Love one another. Love one another. Let's join us now in our closing circle.